Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we ask for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. Help me to pray, to listen to you. You have so much to tell me. As you said to Simon the Pharisee, Simon, I have something to tell you. And I say, Lord, what is it? Help me to see what you want of me so that I can do it and show you in that way that I love you. And today we do our prayer on the beautiful parable of the Good Samaritan. We open the Gospel of St. Luke to the 10th chapter and we read, Behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That great question of the meaning of life. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? The lawyer believed that there was life after death. He desperately wants to obtain it. What must I do to obtain it? This is the question that we all ask. What can I do to go to heaven? Because this is the goal, the purpose of life. On children's catechisms on the front page, there was that question, why did God make me? Which can also be phrased, what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? Does life have a purpose? And the answer, God made me to know, love, and serve him on earth in order to be happy with him forever in heaven. God made us for heaven. But in order to go to heaven, we must know, love, and serve him on earth. First, we must know him. There is a God. And God is not just some supreme being or even just the creator of this vast universe. He is Father. He is ever rich in mercy. And he loves his children. So much did God love the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Lord, the more we know of you, the more we can advance to that second stage, to know love, to love you. And the more we know of you, necessarily, we will love you, because you are love. St. John writes that. God is love. And you loved us first. St. John, in his first letter, says that. In the fourth chapter of that letter, he writes, In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins. He loved us and sent his Son. And Lord Jesus, you are that Son, to be the expiation for our sins by dying on the cross. After living amongst us for those 33 years, giving us your example, your word, the church, the sacraments, all to help us to live well so that we can go to heaven. To know, love, and serve God on earth. Love is not just sweet words or sweet feelings. Love is deeds. To love you is to do your will. If you love me, you said, you will keep my commandments. You will do whatever I ask of you. And Lord, help us to do that. And just as you came to serve and not to be served, you came to do the will of the one who sent you. Help us to do that, to know, love, and serve you on earth so that we may be happy with you in heaven. This is the goal of life. And then, after the lawyer asks that question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You answer, what is written in the law? What do you read there? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered right. Do this, and you will live. To love God, who is love, who loved us first, with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. And that is not difficult. When we realize, Lord, how much you have loved us, we want to love you, and not just with a few small deeds, but with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength. We owe you our very being. We want desperately to serve you, to please you, to love you, and so be worthy of that place in heaven. Help us to love you like that, with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength. And then, following upon our love for you, to love our neighbor as ourself. But you put those two commandments in that order. First, love for God. Second, love for our neighbor. Because only someone who truly loves God will be able to love his neighbor. If he doesn't love God and empty himself of that self-love, that laziness, that love of comfort, he will simply end up loving himself. And when we do love you, then our heart is expanded and we can love our neighbor. But it starts from our love for you, and we see this in the saints. The saints truly loved you with their whole being, and then they poured out that love in love for their neighbor. I saw it in my 2 years living very close to St. Jose Maria. It was obvious that he had a great love for God, and it was seen so obviously in his enormous affection, good humor, love for those around him. The love of God poured out of him as the lava pours from a volcano. That molten lava of love poured out into the world because he truly loved God. And St. John, going back to that first letter, says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. As if to say, Lord, we have never seen you, but we have seen our neighbor. Let us love that neighbor that we can see, and in so doing, we will be loving you. And you said that. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. Whatever you did to the least of your brethren here, you did to me. Loving our neighbor is loving you. You have loved us first. We want to love you with our whole being, and we can do that in good measure by loving our neighbor. Apart from our love for you, shown in prayer, reception of the sacraments, doing your will. The more we love you, the easier it will be to love our neighbor, and then we will see you in our neighbor. Mother Teresa of Calcutta gives us the example. Here was that great saint who truly loved God, and the love of God was lived out in love for her neighbor, including for people that would have been very difficult to love. She describes the following scene. One day they brought a man from the streets and half of his body was all eaten up. Worms were crawling all over his body, and nobody could stand near him. The odor was so great. Maggots, worms, eating into his living flesh. The odor of perhaps someone who hasn't had a bath or a shower for months. But apart from that, perhaps the rotting flesh. The odor was so great no one could stand near him. So I went to clean him. And he looked at me and then he asked, "Why do you do this? Everybody has given me away. Why do you do this? Why do you come near me?" "I love you," I said. "I love you. You are Jesus in a distressing disguise." Jesus, in the person of that poor man who was suffering so terribly, no matter what appearance he had, he didn't smell nice, but he was God. He was Jesus in a distressing disguise. And Mother Teresa went on, "Jesus is sharing his passion with you, sharing his suffering with you." And he looked up at me and said, "And you too, by doing what you are doing, are sharing." And I said, "No, I'm sharing the joy of loving with you. I love the Jesus in you." Mother Teresa didn't look upon the care for that man as sharing in the passion of Christ. It was a joy. It was sharing the joy of loving with him, to love the Jesus in him. And this Hindu gentleman, she goes on, so full of suffering, what did he say? "Glory be to Jesus Christ." He wasn't a Christian, but he saw Christ in Mother Teresa. "Glory be to Jesus Christ." She goes on, "There was no complaint of those big worms eating into his body. There was no crying, no calling. He realized that he was somebody, that he was loved. Someone abandoned by everyone else, loved by God through Mother Teresa and her nuns. And he felt that he was with dignity. He was somebody. He was loved. And Lord, this is what love for you leads us to do, to love our neighbor like that, to go out of our way as Mother Teresa did." But then we can ask, and who is our neighbor that we should love like that? Lord, you go on to give us the parable of the Good Samaritan. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. The priest saw him, didn't go over to help him, rather passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Why would they do that? Why would they not rush over to help that poor man who was half dead? Perhaps he was dying, gravely wounded. They passed by on the other side. Perhaps because, according to the Jewish custom of the time, if they touched somebody who was covered with blood, they would be ritually unclean. But then they were putting the law, the human law, before that greater law of charity. And then our Lord goes on, "But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.'" What a good man. He rushes over to that man lying beside the road, binds up his wounds, pours oil and wine on them as a way of healing, puts him on his beast, takes him to an inn, looks after him, spends the night there, because the next day he takes out 2 denarii, 2 days' wages of an unskilled worker, gives them to the innkeeper and says, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. And perhaps the 2 denarii were ample to look after that man, but he offers even more. I will repay you when I come back. This is generosity. This is love. This is compassion. This is mercy. And Lord, then you ask that lawyer, which of these 3 do you think proved neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. And Lord, you say that to me, to each one of us. Go and do likewise. Be the good Samaritan. And what you are saying in giving us the parable involving a Samaritan is that no matter what the religion of that other person, it doesn't make any difference. He or she is a son and daughter of God. Yes, Samaritans didn't get on well with Jews. They had a different faith. And it didn't matter to this Samaritan that that man was undoubtedly a Jew. He goes to help him. And for us, it doesn't make any difference what religion someone else has, whether they be a Jew, a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddhist, they're sons of God. No matter what race they are. And we should always examine ourselves. Is there any hint of racism in me? That I like certain races and others I really do not like. No matter what race they are, they're all children of the one God. St. Jose Maria said that. There's only one race, the race of the children of God. Because there's only one Father. God is Father to all, of all races, of all religions, and of none. Good people who strive to do God's will, and not that there's anyone evil, but people who habitually sin. People who say they don't believe in God. They are children of the one Father too. And Lord, help me to learn that my neighbor is absolutely everyone. To be like that good Samaritan, to go up to anyone who is suffering, have compassion, and show that compassion by deeds. You invite us to do that. Go and do likewise. And Lord, we begin in our family. Yes, we can think of that poor man on the street that we sometimes pass who is begging, and we can give him something. We can think of helping out in the soup kitchen, serving those homeless people, getting on that van where they make sandwiches and take coffee and tea at night to the homeless in various suburbs of the city. Admirable works of mercy, and if we have a chance, we should do those. But charity begins at home, and the poor we always have with us in our own families, people with certain needs. For example, we come home from work or from study. We see, for example, our mother, our father, our wife, our husband, in the kitchen preparing the meal. And we don't simply say, hello, how was your day? We offer to help, and they will be so grateful. Oh, yes, please, could you put this in the oven? Could you set the table? Could you please peel these carrots or potatoes? I'm running a little bit late. I'm so grateful that you offered to help. This is being the Good Samaritan. Maybe we are watching television, reading our book, looking at our emails and sending them, when one family member comes and says, excuse me, do you have a minute? We turn off the television, close our book, close our computer, and say, yes, what is it? and that family member proceeds to pour out his or her soul. They have something going on inside. They needed to tell someone. They approached us because they thought we would be interested. We would care. And then they pour it out. And maybe the conversation goes on and on, late into the night. But we realize, God put me here to help my brother or sister, my father or mother, my child. That we listen as long as they need to talk. And that is being the Good Samaritan. We help them to pour out their grief, their anxiety, their concerns. And at the end, they will be very grateful to us for doing that. Or maybe it is someone at home who is sick. And they've been in bed maybe for several days, and we go in and spend some time with them. Maybe we pray with them. We get them whatever they would like, a glass of water, a meal, a book to read. We spend time. We are visiting the sick in our own family. Or maybe it is someone in our extended family, an auntie, an uncle in the nursing home, in the hospital, or sick in their own home. We think of them. And we go to see them. And that personal visit is so much more valuable and appreciated than just the text message on their mobile phone or even the phone call. They appreciate that we go to visit them. Again, we are being the Good Samaritan. But also with total strangers. And there's so many people around us where we can be of assistance. Where we can be the Good Samaritan for them. It can be that man who is begging on the street. It can be the people in the shelter for the homeless. It can be getting on that van and taking the sandwiches and the coffee and tea. It can be another driver. We see as we drive along in a long line of traffic, that poor man trying to get out from that side street. And we realize if somebody doesn't let him out, he could be here for a long time. And we are the one that stops, gestures to him to come out, and he is so grateful. And the cars behind us look at that and they say, there is a Good Samaritan. And they will be more inclined themselves to do that for some other driver. And that driver whom we let out would be more inclined to do it to someone else too. And so we spread kindness, we spread goodness even on the road. And instead of being in such a hurry that we cut in front of somebody, we cut behind him as we change lanes. We're not in that much of a hurry. And instead of making some other driver distressed and perhaps angry with us, we simply slip in behind him and avoid him having to be angry. We are a Good Samaritan like that. Lord, to see you in all those people in need, just as those two disciples on their way to Emmaus saw in you just a stranger. They didn't know who you were, but they invited you to come in and eat that meal with them. A total stranger, and it turned out to be you. It was Jesus. So those strangers in our life and those family members are you, sometimes in a distressing disguise. Whatever we do to them, we do to you. And then you will reward us. But help us to see you in every person in need. I think of that account that someone gave only recently. A family on a long extended trip in the country, towing a caravan. On the second day of the journey, the driver, the father of the family, notices that the caravan is lurching, and then it seems to be leaning more on one side. He pulls over and discovers that the suspension on that new caravan has just broken. It has come down upon the tire and slashed it, and there's a flat tire. But worse, the suspension is gone. And while he surveys the damage and wonders what to do, a number of cars pass. But one car passes, stops, turns around and comes back. And it wasn't a man who was a mechanic or with other mechanical skills. It was a mother of a family with her small children. She inquires as to what has happened. This man explains it to her, and she says, "Would you like to spend the night in our home?" And they eagerly took up the invitation, spent the night with that family, that mother, her husband, and their children. And the following day, this man's children played with the woman's children, riding horses, riding quad bikes, having a great time. Because that woman, with a total stranger who could have driven on like all the others, noticed that there was a family in distress. She turns around and comes back and offers them that assistance. This is truly to be the Good Samaritan. Lord, help us to see the many opportunities that you present to us. We don't know what will result from them. Often something totally unexpected comes about. And when we do that, you reward us abundantly. You say also in the Gospel of Luke in the 6th chapter, love your enemies, to love even our enemies, and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. And Lord, your Father was the most merciful. He had mercy on these poor human beings who are sinners that we are. He sent you to redeem us, and you suffered for us. He is kind and merciful, and then you invite us, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. And you go on, give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. If we give generously, like the Good Samaritan and these other examples that we have seen, we will receive in abundance. It will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. And then these words that we must ponder and examine ourselves on, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. What is the measure of my giving? Am I generous? Do I go out of my way? Am I someone that people are really appreciative to? That they see me as one who is always there for them, giving my time, giving my money perhaps, giving my smile. That we be there for everyone, merciful as our Father is merciful. And Lord, we go to Our Lady. She is truly the Good Samaritan. When she has just conceived you in her womb, having been told that her aging relative Elizabeth is in her 6th month, her first thought is for Elizabeth. But it doesn't remain in a mere thought, a feeling of kindness, of compassion. It is translated into deeds, and Mary leaves in the days that followed, makes that long journey of 3 or 4 days on a beast of burden amidst all of the dangers, to go and spend 3 months helping Elizabeth and her husband Zachary until the birth of John the Baptist, and brings joy to them. This is generosity. This is kindness. And what joy she brings to Elizabeth and Zachary and John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb. He leaps for joy. Mary, you are truly the Good Samaritan. Help me to see the many people around me that I can help, to be generous in going to assist them, not only with kind words or kind thoughts, but with deeds. And then the measure I give will be the measure I receive. And Lord, you said it in the Beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Help me to be the Good Samaritan, to show mercy, that you may show mercy to me. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.